Praise the Lord. For our meditation this morning, let me read once again from today's gospel portion, which comes from St. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. St. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word continues to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And we pray, Lord, that as we meditate upon your holy scripture, that we would hear your voice, that you would strengthen us through the truth contained in your holy word. And Father God, we pray that this time would be a time where we would focus on what you have to speak to us this day. Grant us your grace and your mercy, and we pray that this time of meditation would be a blessing for us all. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So for the past 1 week, our children have been engaged in a very energetic VBS. And this year in VBS, we spoke about the forgiveness that God grants to each and every one of us, how God's forgiveness is forever. And we learned, particularly through the life of one of Jesus' disciples, St. Peter. And we learned that in Peter's life, he was the recipient of God's forgiveness, or Jesus' forgiveness, at many instances, because Peter, as we know, was not a perfect person, not a perfect disciple, not a perfect follower of Jesus Christ. But we see that as Peter journeyed with Christ, as Peter learned from his mistakes, as Peter continued to gain strength through understanding who Jesus Christ is, we see that ultimately Peter was able to fully and completely and wholeheartedly dedicate his life to serve the church and ultimately to serve Jesus Christ. And that's one of the greatest lessons that we can learn from the life of the Apostle Peter. That in spite of his weaknesses, that in spite of his failures, that in spite of his stubbornness, or in spite of his sometimes negative attitudes, that he was able to be transformed by the presence of Christ, by the forgiveness and love of Christ, so that he could toil until the very end of his life, serving the Lord and serving the church and working to build up the early Christian community. So we must appreciate and learn from the life of this blessed apostle. And in today's gospel portion, we read about two other of Jesus' disciples, James and John, who were brothers. We know that Peter, James, and John usually made up the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Jesus often confided in them. Jesus often spent time with them in intimate situations. Jesus even spent time teaching them in particular circumstances to help them learn what it means to serve in the kingdom of God. And we also see that in today's passage, Jesus uses this particular incident to teach them about what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. So before we get to what takes place in this passage, there's one question that I would like to ask all of you. It's a question that I've asked, I think, a couple of times before. Why is it that we are a part of the Christian church? Why is it that we are a part of this congregation? Why do we come to this church week after week to take part in worship services? We all know that there are different reasons that motivate us to come to church on a Sunday morning, or even motivate us to come to church when we have different programs and ministries such as VBS. But what is our inner motivation for coming here, being a part of this community? You know that coming here itself, coming to church itself, requires a great deal of effort. For one, we have to wake up on a Sunday morning, a day where many others would use to rest. But we wake up, take the effort to get dressed, to get ready, to drive to church, to leave the comfort of our home, to come here, to be in the presence of God. But what is the real reason that we come for worship? And what is the real reason that we are a part of this Christian community? There may be many reasons that we use to help us understand the reason why we come to church. We may seek to worship the Lord. We may seek to be in the company of fellow believers. We may seek to come to be inspired by the Word of God. We may come to experience the grace of God. We may come with our burdens and our different issues and problems to experience some kind of relief. We may come just to be in the company of our friends, or we may even come just to please someone else, either our parents, our spouse, our relatives. We may come even with the notion that coming to church itself pleases God in some way. But what we have to understand is that just coming to church and just taking part in our Sunday service or just taking part in our church activities doesn't ultimately please God in any way, because what's more important is our inner motivation in participating in all of these things, in participating in worship. What is the condition of our heart when we come and take part in service or take part in the ministries of the church? And that's what we can see also taking shape in this particular passage that we read. We see James and John, as I mentioned again, two of Jesus' intimate disciples, asking Jesus a very unusual thing. They come to him with this request, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." So we might think that this request is a little ambitious, a little audacious. They are being arrogant in coming to Jesus and asking for Jesus to do whatever it is that they want. So in a way, we see that James and John come to Jesus with some kind of expectation. They come to him and they ask him that they want to sit at the right and left of Jesus when he comes in his glory or when he comes in his kingdom. What we have to understand is that James and John come from a very ordinary background. They were fishermen. They were brothers who lived in one particular place all their lives. And when Jesus all of a sudden calls them one day to follow him, they leave everything behind and they do go and follow Jesus. And after some time, we see them coming to Jesus with this request. "We want to sit at your right and at your left when you come in your glory and when you come in your kingdom." What we have to, again, understand or acknowledge about these two disciples, that even though they come from ordinary backgrounds, even though they may come from humble situations, these two people were ambitious. They had certain goals in life. And there's nothing wrong with having goals or ambitions in life. But again, we have to look at the inner motivation behind this request or this particular goal that James and John have. Mark, the gospel writer, gives us an honest view of who James and John are, because they make this request maybe out of their own ignorance. They make it because they are human beings. They make it because they have come to realize that Jesus is powerful, is capable of many things. Whether or not they have actually come to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, who has come to redeem the world, we're not sure of at this particular point, but they have realized something about Jesus. And so at this particular opportunity, they ask Jesus to do something for them or to give them a guarantee that when Jesus comes in his glory, that Jesus will not forget them. We see that James and John are making a request to be great. greatness, something that many of us strive for, to be great, to be known as a great person. But here Jesus is telling them that if you want to be great, particularly in the kingdom of God, you have to follow a certain standard. And that standard is not the standard of the world, but it's a standard that Christ has set for us in and through his own life. A life of service, a life of sacrifice, a life of selflessness. It's not a life that is embodied by power, prestige, and fortune, but it's a life that's embodied by selflessness, sacrifice, and service. This is what Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand. He even says in the last verse, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life so that others could be blessed, so that others could be saved, so that others could be redeemed, so that this world and those who come to believe in Christ can experience the gift of salvation. So here, when James and John make this request, they may not be making this request out of a full knowledge of who Christ is. But we, as believers, we have the knowledge of who Christ is, what Christ has done, and what Christ is capable of doing. And Christ calls us all to be great in the kingdom of God. He wants us in his kingdom, ultimately, to serve him. And when we come to church, or when we take part in the ministries of the church, this is a part of our service to God. But it's not our primary service. It's a part of our service. Coming together to worship the Lord, of course, is admirable. It's what God desires. But it's what happens after the service that God looks at closely. What we do after the service, our real service, is what matters when it comes to the kingdom of God and when it comes to being known as great. Christ tells us that as the body of Christ, our validation as his children is not made in our church attendance. It's not validated by how many people come and take part in our services or ministries. But what's important is how many people who have come and taken part in these services go out into the world and serve others. That is the greatest measure of the greatness of a Christian community, how we are able to go out and serve the world. I think it was Rick Warren who said that the greatness of a church is not measured in its seating capacity, but in its sending capacity. Sending people out to do the Lord's work, to build up his kingdom upon this earth. And that's exactly what Jesus calls each and every one of us to do. And even in our VBS lessons, we learned about Peter, who was called by Christ. Even Peter had to go through a whole learning process in order for him to fully understand what it meant to be great in the kingdom of God. And because of the lessons that he learned, because of the presence of Christ with him, because of the forgiveness that he had received, he was able to ultimately serve the church until his last breath when he was martyred. And so, dear friends, as we conclude our VBS this year and as we meditate upon God's word, and especially as we go into a new season of life, we have to remember that God does call us to be great, but not great by the standards of this world, but by the standards of the kingdom of God, and that is to serve the Lord with our whole heart, to serve the Lord and to go out into our communities, to go out into the places where we live and where we have influence, to serve him in whatever way that we can, to make his gospel message known, to spread the love of God. We come together for worship, to gain the strength to go and to do what the Lord wills for us. Some of us wait eagerly for the final benediction in the service so that we can race out of here and get back to our homes or back to the places where we are comfortable. But actually, what has to happen is that we should go back to our communities, not just our homes, but go back to the communities, go back to the world with the grace and mercy and strength that God has provided to serve him and to serve him until our very last breath. That's what Christ desires, and that's what is the measure of greatness in the kingdom of God. So, dear friends, let's continue to learn from the disciples of Jesus Christ, learn from their mistakes and their failures, and learn what exactly Christ envisions for us as his people, to be great, not by, again, the standards of this world, but to be great by leading a life of service, sacrifice, and selflessness. May the good Lord bless us with these words. May he continue to give us strength, and may our worship lead us to full service for our communities, for the world, and for the blessings of God Almighty. Let us bow our heads in prayer.